Our scripture for this morning to think about is just one verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, which simply says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you." I've chuckled more than a couple of times in the last few weeks, or a couple of weeks, I guess, because since Claude's illness, he asked me to do this service. And I've chuckled because it's funny for me to think that I'm the one standing here talking to you about gratitude. For the last year or so, I've been on a little bit of a journey of learning how to be grateful myself. It's not really been a great journey. It's more like a walk of shame because of what God has been doing in my own heart. It's been a difficult journey because I am not by natural temperament the most grateful person that you're going to meet. Left to myself, I'm more of a curmudgeon. I kind of see the things that are wrong more easily than I see the things that are right. But over the last year or so, God's been revealing to me how vital it is to be grateful. And not simply for myself, but obviously for other people around me. And it's not simply because it's the right thing to do, but because it's the good thing. It's good. It's how He created us to live. It's God's will for us to be grateful. And as I said, this has not been an easy journey for me. I've had to work at training my heart to be thankful. One of my many theories on people is that there are two different kinds of people. You know, the more optimistic people, the optimistic people look at life and see that which is good. And you can tell them because when they see something sad, that's what moves them to tears. But for the rest of us who tend to see what's broken more easily, what usually moves us to tears is the beauty, the good, and that moves us. And I'm definitely in that category. And one thing that I've found is that one thing that helps pull me out of my natural temperament is gratitude. When I begin to be grateful, when I'm in the darkness, gratitude is a friend that shows up with light. Gratitude is a savior. Gratitude is the light that comes in and makes the shadows recede. The monsters go away. Gratitude brings back perspective. It helps you see the truth. It helps you understand reality the way that it needs to be understood and accept it for what it is. Gratitude brings the light of truth to the darkness of despair. So today, I just want to share with you a few brief thoughts from my own journey. And for a lot of you, this will be old hat. It'll just be observations on the obvious. But for the rest of us, these are brilliant insights because they're not obvious. First of all, definition. What's gratitude? Well, gratitude is simply recognizing and expressing appreciation for the good things that we've received from God and from other people. Simple definition. But do note that gratitude is not simply recognizing the good things that we've received from God and from others. It's expressing that. It's important that we note this. The biblical ideas and words of thanksgiving tell us that thanksgiving and gratitude begins in the heart, but it doesn't end in the heart. It goes on. It leads ultimately to expressing gratitude. Colossians 3:15-17 admonishes us to worship, sing, and praise God with thanksgiving in our hearts. So thanksgiving does begin in our hearts, but everything begins in our hearts. But it ends with giving thanks in everything to God the Father. True gratitude begins in the heart, but it never stays there. It comes out. It comes out in speaking. It comes out in voicing. And when we give life, when we do that, we're calling that gratitude to exist in the world. We're giving life to it. We're saying we want it to live. We want it to be recognized. We want it to have a place. We want it to be seen. It may help to know that in the scriptures we see expressions of gratitude for all sorts of things being given. For material things, for the goodness and mercy of God, for the gift of Christ, for the power and reign of Christ, for the deliverance in Christ and rescue from sin, for triumph of the gospel, for other people, for their generosity and fellowship and friendship. And in our verse, in our text this morning, Paul says, in every circumstance. And now notice that he doesn't say for every circumstance. That's different. He says, in that circumstance, no matter what it is, give thanks. The sheer number of times that thanksgiving is mentioned in the scripture is arresting. If nothing else, we can see that it's a central part of the Christian life. And if nothing else, we should be able to give thanks for Jesus Christ. Because in salvation, relationship with God is restored. Oswald Chambers said, the thing that awakens the deepest well of gratitude in a human being is that God has forgiven sin. In the forgiveness of sin, we come face to face with the greatest gift. For those of you who have been coming to this service for a long time know that the service used, when Mayor Fulmer was here, he started off every service, the expression of thanks. And after he said, I don't need a microphone, he would say, the first thing I wanted to give thanks for is salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that we have salvation. So here's some thoughts on thanksgiving and gratitude and why it's a good thing. I just want to mention a few things that God has been teaching me over the last year, and maybe they'll be helpful for you. First of all, gratitude draws us close to God. Gratitude draws us close to God. To give thanks is to speak gratitude. And if we're speaking, we have to be speaking to someone, right? We're talking to someone. And so when we express gratitude, we're recognizing the presence of God. We're speaking to Him. We're recognizing the fact that God is present, that He's real, that He's here, that He is alive and active in my life. And gratitude awakens me to the fact that God is always present with me. Psalm 22:3 says, you're enthroned on the praise of Israel. And Psalm 100 and Psalm 95 tell us to come into His presence with thanksgiving. And it's certainly right for us to look at those as commands or instructions, but they also might be taken as statements of fact. You come into His presence with thanksgiving. Maybe that's the way that we should understand this, that when we give thanks, it is a sure way to come into the presence of God, to recognize the presence of God with us and within us. Now, we may whisper it, and we may say it alone. There may not be anyone else around to say it. But when we say, thank you, Lord, when we express that gratitude, we are recognizing what C.S. Lewis calls the unseen, real presence of God. Another reason to be grateful is that gratitude leads us to be present not only with God, but right where we are. We have a problem with presence. We have a problem with being in different places, or with our minds being in different places. Sometimes we're in the past, sometimes we're in the future, sometimes we're at a different place in town. Maybe we want to be with other people than with the people that we are with. But a lack of gratitude is a preoccupation with the not, right? It's a preoccupation with what we don't have, where we are not, who we're not with. And sometimes it means we have to work to find the gratitude where we are. Sometimes the things that we're not grateful for are staring us right in the face, and we have to be present where we are to listen and look and pay attention. Ann Voskamp, author of 1,000 Gifts, says, when I give thanks for the seemingly microscopic, I make a place for God to grow within me. We're recognizing not just the presence of God, but His goodness in that moment. And we can only be thankful and grateful where we are, with the people that we're with, in the place where we're put. So being present, paying attention to the small things, blocking out all the knots and paying attention to what is a way to take sides with God against cynicism, and fatalism, anxiety. and to say yes to where we are. Gratitude leads us to peace. If you, like I do, struggle with anxiety, with a preoccupation for that what is not, then gratitude is the antidote. It's the kryptonite for anxiety. It is. We are so busy with our lives. We're occupied and we're preoccupied with so many things. Preoccupation is a preoccupation not with the nots, but with the what ifs. You know, that's what anxiety is. Well, how do we cope with this? Well, one of the surest, most reliable ways to deal with anxiety is to express thanks, to lay hold of the peace of God that is available to us. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 is the hallmark verse for this. It says, "Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." I skipped something, though. If you know that verse, that's not what it says. Let me read it again. "Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." When we bring our requests to God with thanksgiving, that is what's going to drive out the anxiety. Prayers and supplications with thanksgivings. Here's the equation. Prayer plus gratitude equals peace. Not just prayer. Prayer with gratitude. Prayer with thanks. Requests with thanks. Gratitude leads to expectancy. It leads to an expectancy that God is working in my life, and that I can see how He's doing that work. The Bible tells us the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. The mercies of God are new every morning. Fresh mercies. And gratitude cultivates the expectation that there are new mercies to come today. Even today. New things to be grateful for. New things that we can expect and look for, notice, claim, and celebrate when they arrive. As one of my friends says, God is taking us to a new place and a new way to experience a new thing. Gratitude awakens us to that possibility and makes us expectant for what God is going to do. The word new in Hebrew means new. I looked it up. So, do you live with the expectancy that God is going to give you and do something in you that has never happened before? Today, gratitude awakens us to the new things that God may be doing in us because we're on the lookout for that. Gratitude is contagious. This is a wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. It says, "You'll be enriched in every way so that you'll be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." It's going to overflow in many expressions of thanks to God. What Paul is talking about here, the context, is that he's being generous to others, and they're being generous to him, and that causes gratitude, which leads to more generosity, which leads to more gratitude, which leads to more generosity, which means more gratitude to God. It's almost as if Paul's on this mission to be as generous as he can so that the most people possible will turn to God in thanksgiving. Gratitude leads to generosity, which leads to gratitude, which leads to generosity. It just goes on and on. It's contagious. As God blesses and increases, we give thanks, and that results in generosity, which leads to thanks. And lastly, gratitude brings us into a proper alignment and position with God. This verse says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you." So God wants us to stand up, and what Paul is saying here is that the right relationship, the right posture before God is thanks. It's thanks. You know, some people go to chiropractors to get back in spiritual or to get back in alignment. Well, thanksgiving and gratitude gets us back into spiritual alignment. It helps us stand up straight in the right position. we get out of alignment, and gratitude is a sure way to get us back in proper alignment. It turns, helps us to stand up, helps us to look up, our palms up before God. The Greek word for thanks is eucharisteo. That's where we get the word for Eucharist, because Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. And that's where that word comes from. And it's instructful for us because I think, you know, it's the sacrament of the Lord's Supper calls us back. That's where we really get realigned. But isn't it interesting that it's in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper where we're put back together that it's called the sacrament of thanksgiving, the sacrament of giving thanks, the sacrament of expressing gratitude to God. In communion, we come into the presence of God, we look in His face, and we receive. And that's what gratitude is. We come in the presence of God, we look into His face, and we receive. So gratitude brings us into proper position before God. This is His will for us. Some of you may have seen the movie Amadeus. It was made in the 1980s, a long, long time ago. But in that movie, you see the relationship between Mozart and one of his contemporaries, Salieri. And Salieri was a devout Christian, but he was limited in his gifts. He couldn't compose nearly as well as Mozart. And here was Mozart, who had all these gifts from God and just was careless with them, lived a hedonistic life. And Salieri was so jealous, he was so frustrated that he didn't have the gifts that Mozart had. But nevertheless, at the end of every one of his works, he wrote, "Grazie, Signore." Thank you, Father. Thank you, sir. And it's a good lesson for us, because gratitude is not about how much we have. It's about gratitude for what we have. Salieri is saying, it's not the amount of gifts or the amount of blessing. What is important to me is that what I have was a personal gift from my Father to me. This is what He gave me. And that's why it's precious. That's why it's special. Because He didn't give it to anybody else but me. Gratitude brings us into the presence of God to look in His face and say, "Thank you, Father, for what you have given to me." Grazie, Signore. Thank you, Father.